What does dopamine actually do? It is not the brain's pleasure chemical, it is its teaching signal. In a landmark study, dopamine neurons were found to fire not when a reward is delivered, but when it is delivered unexpectedly. They fall silent for a fully predicted reward and dip below baseline when an expected reward fails to arrive. Schultz, Dion, and Montague, 1997. This is a reward prediction error, the difference between expectation and reality, and it is exactly the signal a learning machine needs to update its predictions. When this reward machinery is blunted, the result is anhedonia, the loss of pleasure and motivation, Derevakian and Marakou, 2012, and restoring it may be part of how psychedelics lift depression, Hesselgrave et al., 2021. To understand dopamine, forget almost everything you have heard about it. It is not a reward in itself, not a squirt of happiness the brain hands out for a job well done. It is something more like a prophet whose only job is to be surprised, and to broadcast that surprise so loudly that the rest of the brain rewires itself to be less surprised next time. That single reframing, worked out over decades of painstaking recordings from single neurons, turns dopamine from a hedonic footnote into the engine of learning, motivation, and, when it fails, despair, the experiment that redefined dopamine. In the 1980s and 90s, Wolfram Schultz recorded from individual dopamine neurons in the midbrain of monkeys while they learned to associate a light or a sound with a drop of juice. What he found upended the reigning idea that dopamine simply signals reward. Early in learning, before the animal knew what the cue meant, the dopamine neurons fired when the juice arrived, a burst of activity at the moment of reward. But as the animal learned that a particular tone predicted the juice, something remarkable happened. The dopamine burst migrated backward in time, away from the juice and onto the cue that predicted it. Once the reward was fully expected, the neurons went quiet at the moment of delivery. The reward itself no longer moved them at all. Working with computational neuroscientists Peter Dayan and Red Montague, Schultz recognized what this pattern meant. The dopamine neurons were not reporting reward. They were reporting reward prediction error. The difference between the reward you got and the reward you expected. Schultz, Dayan, and Montague, 1997. An unexpected reward is a positive surprise and dopamine spikes. A fully predicted reward carries no surprise and dopamine stays flat. And an expected reward that fails to arrive is a negative surprise. Here the neurons pause, dipping below their baseline at exactly the moment the missing juice should have come. Schultz, 1998. Dopamine, in other words, is the brain's error correction signal, the teaching voice that says, "The world just surprised you, update your model," a teaching signal borrowed by machines. The elegance of this discovery is that it matched almost exactly an algorithm computer scientists had already invented for teaching machines to learn from reward. Temporal difference learning, the backbone of reinforcement learning. In that framework, an agent improves its predictions by computing the error between expected and received reward and using it to adjust future expectations. Schultz's dopamine neurons were computing that very quantity in biological wetware. Why, it was one of those rare moments when a theory from artificial intelligence and a recording from a living brain turned out to be describing the same thing. The same prediction error logic that lets a machine learn to play a game is, it seems, what lets a mind learn that a certain place, face, or action tends to be worth pursuing. OW psilocybin mushroom. Treats. Wanting is not liking. If dopamine is not pleasure, then what is pleasure? And where did the myth come from? The confusion runs deep, but the neuroscience has largely untangled it. Researchers now distinguish two dissociable processes: wanting, the motivation to pursue something, its incentive pull, and liking, the actual hedonic pleasure of getting it. Dopamine drives wanting. It assigns incentive salience, the magnetic quality that makes a cue grab your attention and pull you toward it. But the raw pleasure of a reward, the liking, is generated by other systems, small hedonic hotspots that run on opioids and endocannabinoids, not dopamine. This is why you can want something intensely without enjoying it much when you get it, the hallmark of craving and of addiction. Addictive drugs hijack the dopamine system directly, flooding it with a chemical prediction error that says this was far better than expected, over and over, teaching the brain to pursue the drug with escalating hunger even as the actual pleasure fades. The wanting grows monstrous while the liking withers. Dopamine is the wanting. It was never the joy. When the signal goes quiet, anhedonia. Now consider the opposite failure. If dopamine's prediction error signal is how the world acquires its pull, how food, music, people, and goals come to feel worth wanting, then a brain in which that signal is blunted would be a brain for which nothing feels worth the effort. This is anhedonia, the loss of interest and pleasure that sits at the dark center of depression. Not sadness exactly, but a flatness, a world drained of its incentive color. Anhedonia is increasingly understood as a disorder of reward circuitry, of blunted responses in the ventral striatum and its dopamine inputs, and of impaired reward learning and motivation, Derevakian and Marco, 2012. In depression, the striatum under-responds to positive events. Unexpected rewards that should light up the system fail to. The teaching signal has gone dim, and without it, the machinery that learns what is worth pursuing grinds down. Understanding depression this way, and as partly a failure of the surprise signal, reframes what a treatment needs to do. It is not enough to numb pain. Something has to switch the reward system back on so the world can start to matter again. Join the OOTW sacrament. The oldest prayer remembered, the gentle dissolving of the self into light, held in ceremony by a master facilitator. Sit with our community first, a free live weekly circle on Zoom. No commitment, simply a conversation, where psychedelics enter the story. Classic psychedelics do not act primarily on dopamine. They work through the serotonin 2A receptor. But the reward system is downstream, and one of the most intriguing threads in psychedelic neuroscience is the possibility that they help repair a blunted reward machinery. This journal has covered how conventional SSRIs can flatten emotion, sometimes worsening the very anhedonic numbness they are meant to treat, whereas psychedelics appear to do something closer to the opposite, to restore emotional and reward responsiveness rather than dampen it. In a striking preclinical study, a single dose of psilocybin reversed anhedonic behavior in chronically stressed mice, restoring their pursuit of a sweet reward, and did so alongside a strengthening of excitatory synapses, a signature of restored plasticity in reward-related circuits. Remarkably, this antidepressant-like anti-anhedonic effect persisted even when the classic 5-HT2A TRP receptor was blocked, suggesting the reward-restoring action rides substantially on renewed synaptic plasticity, Hesselgrave et al., 2021. The picture that emerges is not that psychedelics flood the brain with dopamine, but that by reopening a window of plasticity, they let a stuck, under-responsive reward system relearn, let surprise, and with it, wanting, come back online. A depressed brain has, in a sense, stopped being surprised by good things. The hope is that a psychedelic can teach it to be surprised again. The honest cautions. The reward prediction error account of dopamine is one of the most robust findings in systems neuroscience, but it is not the whole of dopamine. The same neurons also respond to salience, novelty, and even some aversive events. Dopamine shapes movement, its loss causes Parkinson's, working memory, and more. Reducing dopamine to a single tidy function risks the same oversimplification as the pleasure molecule myth it replaced. The prediction error signal is real and central, but it sits inside a richer, messier system. Bromberg-Martin, Matsumoto, and Hikosaka, 2010. The psychedelic reward story is genuinely promising, but still early. The strongest reward restoration evidence is preclinical in rodents. The human data on psilocybin and anhedonia are growing but limited, and the mechanisms are actively debated. That psychedelics can reopen plasticity is well supported. That this reliably retunes the reward system to lift anhedonia in people is a hopeful hypothesis under investigation, not a settled clinical fact. Psychedelics are controlled substances, are not safe for everyone, and none of this is a recommendation to use them. Anhedonia and depression deserve professional care. The profit of what matters. Strip away the myth and dopamine becomes something more profound than a pleasure chemical. It is the signal by which a mind decides what is worth caring about. A running commentary on the gap between hope and reality that quietly sculpts every preference you have. When it works, the world is full of pulls and possibilities, and effort feels worth it. When it fails, the pulls go slack and the color drains out. To understand dopamine is to understand that motivation is not a mood but a computation, and that the feeling of a meaningful, wantable world rests on a fragile little signal of surprise, one that, in the right conditions, can be taught to fire again. OTW. Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. The reward prediction error model of dopamine is well established, but its clinical applications and the proposal that psychedelics lift anhedonia by retuning the reward system remain areas of active research. Psychedelics are controlled substances, are not safe for everyone, and nothing here is a recommendation to use them.